Okay, gentlemen. Hilchos Yom Tov. Okay. We are up to Hilchos Yom Tov, Simen Tov Tzad Zayin. And we started the Achana, the Dine Achana B'Yom Tov. We spoke about the concept of Melechez Tzedo. Yeah, I think that's where we finished off on Thursday. Bistiat Dishmai, we discussed, is Tzedah one of those melachos which is permitted or forbidden on Yom Tov? And we learned that in principle, of course, it's Oichel Nefesh. In principle, it should be Oichel Nefesh, which would mean that it should really be a permitted melach on Yom Tov. We learned that all the Oichel Nefesh melachos, all the melachos which are directly connected to food, oichel nefesh, to sustenance, to physical, to food, are permitted really. However, there are a few exceptions. One of those exceptions is tzad, as we learned in Simon Tov Tzad Yisiv Gimel. This is together with the other exceptions of Ketzira. There's something funny going on in the... can you hear me? Can somebody just...
Yeah.
You can hear me fine? Right, okay. So we learned that there's a few exceptions to Oichel Nefesh. One of them is Tzad. Now the reason was why trapping Tzad is not permitted on Yom Tov. It's because, although it's Oichel Nefesh, it's for food, you're obviously trapping an animal to eat it. It's because one of those malachas which you normally done in great amounts, you know, you're normally doing a lot of animals together. You're doing like it's a ketzir, like the harvesting, like the grinding, you're going to do most of it together, not just for one meal. Therefore, Chachamim were concerned, and therefore they answered it. Therefore, tzad is one of those malachas. Also, we learned in Mishnah Berurah Sifkoton Yud Gimel, some hold that it's rabbinical, some hold that it's deraisa. Okay. Now, that's concept number one, which we have covered and we're comfortable with and we understand. Now, going a bit more into the Melach of Tzot, because Simon Topsa Design is going to discuss very, very interesting Melach with the Tzot. The truth is, I believe there's more details about the Melach of Tzot in this Simon. There's more about trapping animals in this simon than there's actually in Chol Shabbos, although the halachas are identical. So we want to know which animals are you allowed to trap on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. What about if there's a bee flying around? Can you trap it? What about if there's a spider and you want to get rid of it? There's a spider on the floor, you want to get rid of it. Are you allowed to trap it and remove it? What about if there's a sheep which is about, you know, sheep in the back garden? You know, all these halachas. When actually, which animals are you allowed to trap, which ones not? So there's lots of halachas over here. Now, one of the concepts is that tzad is always defined as you're restricting the movement of an animal. This is a very, very important statement, because you're restricting the movement of an animal. That's the definition and the intent and the definition really of the melacha. You are restricting the movement of an animal. So for instance, if an animal is restricted already, for whatever the reason may be, if the animal is, let's say you've got an animal which has got a chain, and it's attached. Now, if you trap it and you put it in a cage, then that's not called tzad, because it's trapped already. It's restricting its movement already. That concept, excuse me, is called mechutzat seda. You can only be over on the melacha of tzad trapping if the animal is mechusa seda, lacking. What's the right translation? Lacking mechusa seda. It's lacking in. Entrappedness. I'm sure the word doesn't exist. It's mechusat seda. I wonder what the correct translation is. Anybody know? Pardon?
Confined.
Yeah. You can only. That's right. Very good. Confined. So the part of the melach is that it is that it's not confined. If it's confined already, then you're not over melaches tzad. Okay, so we've covered the concept of why tzad is in principle a problem on Yom Tov. We've covered that. We have similar rules.
Between Yom Tov and Shabbos.
There's
exactly the same halacha of Shabbos.
Repeat.
Is it exactly the same as Shabbos tzad?
Point number two. Because mechutz tzeda.
Everything about tzad.
Yeah, so point number two, which we discussed, about mechutz tzeda, the answer is yes, it is identical. Now, point number one, which we discussed, is obviously something which is specifically with regard to Yom Tov, because Oichal Nefesh is only a discussion which is relevant to Yom Tov. So if you're talking about mechutz tzeda, if you're talking about Oichal Nefesh, that's only something which is relevant to Yom Tov. But yes, the definition of the melacha on Yom Tov and on Shabbos are identical. It's just the reason why That despite the fact that it's Oichal Nefesh, and despite the fact that really on Yom Tov we'd expected it to be permitted, it's also perhaps from the Rabbanon, perhaps from the Reis, because it's one of those melachos which is different. But you're quite right. The way you're over on the melacha is same on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Okay, but the only thing which you've got to remember is that at times of Gideon, it's going to be looked at as a Darabonon. Because really, if you're trapping the animal for Oichal Nefesh, as we discussed a few minutes ago, it's really, although it's Oichal Nefesh, it's still also because of that rabbinical restriction. But it's that means that it's not really Tzad Shabbos is Dereise. Tzad on Yom Tov could be Darabonon. Does that make sense?
So there could be
nafka minas. Yeah. But to the definition of the melacha, the way you're over on the melacha is the same. Now, good. Now, there's another topic which we're going to see in Siv Aleph, is that which we're going to go. The whole sermon is going to be discussing that. There's another topic which has nothing to do with tzad really. That when we're discussing animals which you may want to consume on Yom Tov, say you want to shecht your animal in your back garden, or say you want to fish one of the fish in your pond, or whatever the animal is that you may want to consume on Yom Tov, which you're allowed to. We've got to keep in mind that at times it's muktzah. Now muktzah is defined as an item which you didn't expect to use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Muktzah, as we mentioned previously, muktzah is also a concept which exists on Yom Tov. Anything which I didn't expect to use on Yom Tov is going to be muktzah. So say you've got a chicken in the back garden, or you've got fish in your pond, you've got a cow in your field that you want to eat them. So shchita is fine on Yom Tov, and tzad we're going to see under the very circumstances you're allowed to do tzad as well. So another question that has to be looked at is, what about muktzah? Is it something which I plan to use or not? If it was an animal which I never ever expected to start eating on Yom Tov, then it's going to be another problem of muktzah, because muktzah it's set apart. It's not something which I intended to use. This was an animal which was meant to be roaming freely on Yom Tov. So the fact that I expect to eat it, it might be muktzah. So we've got to always look at two questions throughout the whole sermon. We've got to look at, what about if I want to eat this animal, is it first of all, am I allowed to trap it? Question number one. Because tzeda is for one of those melachos you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. What about tzad? Question number one. We've got to look at this. And the second question we're always going to be looking at is it muktzah? Is it an animal which I'm allowed to have to use? Or is it something which has been set aside not for consumption? So throughout the whole sermon we're going to see, we're always consistently going to look at those two questions. So I want to eat this animal. Questions, first of all, can I trap it? Can I catch it? Question number one. Question number two, is it muktzah, yes or no? And we'll see, these halachos are going to be different, but the questions are identical. Okay, having settled that, we're ready for Siman Tov Tzad Zayin, Siv Aleph. Tinei Achonah B'Yom Tov. Okay, Ein Tzad In Dogim Min HaBevorim. So Siv Aleph teaches us, you're not allowed to trap a fish from the Bevorim. Bevorim are ponds. So you've got a pond in your back garden, perhaps with a fountain, fancy schmancy, perhaps without a water fountain, but either way, you've got a bit of a pond in the back garden. There's fish inside it, kosher fish. Now, You know not to trap them. You know not to catch those fish. And sodin dogim na bevorim. You know not to catch those fish. You're really hungry. You want to have fish on Yom Tov. You want to start catching them. No, you can't. You can't fish those fish from the ponds. Continues the Rama. Afilu b'markim she'enu mechusarim tzeda. Even if it is, even if they are not mechusar tzeda, even if you would have thought that they are. You'd have thought that they're in a confined area because it's a pond, but nevertheless you can't. Because these ponds are not that small after all, and they are quite wide. These ponds are fairly wide. There are dogim nishmotim, and the fish, they keep escaping in both directions. So even if you do end up catching it at the end, in whatever way, you may end up catching it, but a mice, at the end of the day, you've trapped an animal which was not confined. So, the havamina would have been that it's confined, because it's at the end of the day, it's a pond, it's not an ocean, it's not a completely wide area, it's a pond. So you would have perhaps assumed, that's alright, it's already trapped. So since it's trapped, I can trap it further, as we discussed earlier, that something which is confined, which is restricted already, you're allowed to take it because it's confined already, it's trapped already. So the Shulchan Aruch teaches, no, you're making a mistake. It's the beivah for a fish, for fish is still considered free and loose, and you cannot consider it caught already. You cannot consider it trapped, because if you're just taking, you're just trying to catch it, it's going to be escaping in the old area, and therefore, you're over on Melechus Tzad. So this is, as Reb Gideon pointed out, this will be the same halach on Shabbos, not specifically with regards to Yom Tov. This is the halach in Tzad. This is the chiddush in Tzad. That don't tell me that a beivo is considered a confined area for a fish. It's not. You're not going to catch it. So that's that. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sifkot Aleph, Mina Beivorim, Sifkot Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, Hainu Breichos Shel Mayim, ponds of water, Mukofim, which are surrounded, Me'abruchos, from four directions. Now, Mishnah Berurah tells us the obvious, it's self-understood, Mina Nor, and from a river, Lo'itzich Lelashmina. I don't have to tell me, Mishnah Berurah doesn't have to teach us that you're not to trap, catch fish. You're not to fish from a river, because that's obvious. The Bevada also, that's certainly also. I would have thought perhaps in a Bevo it's considered trapped already, but it's not. And he adds, the Kulu is to Bevet, that would be certainly forbidden. Tzedok Moritz, unquestionably, also because of Melechus of Tzedov, trapping, also Kikzir of Etchino, Shara Melechus, it's certainly also. The truth is, it is the poskim discuss over here, and we will see that later. So, what is really considered? So, when is it considered trapped already? A fish, at what stage? How do you say if it's a really a tiny little? Imagine it's one of those. It's a fish that you've got in a tiny little water tank, really a tiny water tank. And it's there already. It's already that kind of water tank. And would that be considered tzad or not? Is it mechutz tzeda or not?
If you can trap it in one go.
That's it. Brad is quite right. This is the definition of tzad. Tzad is, we'll see later again, but that's really key for the understanding of the whole simon. Tzad is defined if you can catch it in one go. It's very easy definition. If you can catch it in one go, that means that it's always very relative. It's always relative, but it's a very consistent rule that if you can get it quickly. So if it's a small water tank and you can literally just grab it as you kind of, then it's fine. Truth is, even in this pond, if you're talking about a very, very large fish, really large fish, what are those called? Those really large fish? They're kosher. What are those called?
Isn't it a carp?
Carp. Carps are, yeah, they're very big, no? They're like this? Yeah. Tuna is also big. Yeah. So I must say, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I went on an outing. I forgot what it's called now. Where was it? It was near the river, and I was on the edge of the river. I forgot now where the place was called. It was a very nice outing, and I was walking along the the bank, and I saw this lot of movement in the in the water, a lot of movement right next to the river. And the initial reaction, of course, was that it's sharks. Of course, once we were quite convinced it wasn't because killer whales also go right next to the killer whale. All cars also go. So initially, we dismissed that. And looking closely, they were really very high up, and they were literally by the riverbank. So I'm not quite sure. I don't know much about fish, I'm afraid. But anyway, so if we're talking about large kind of fish in a Nahor, it would still be considered Mechusat Seder. But in a Beva, if it's a small pond and you can really like think you can catch anyone go, then it would be permitted. So it's all relative to the size of the fish, relative to the size of pond where it's actually swimming. So the words of the Shabu over here is, and I'm going to read that because it's really important. Since they are covered from the ice, and the pond is wide, and they're forever escaping and kind of going into the holes and to the sides, they're not considered trapped, they are not caught, they are not, what was Gideon's words, they are not confined. These are the words. Because there's a toirach, there's a difficulty in catching them. These are the key words. Toirach letofson, there's a difficulty in catching it. These are the words. If it's difficult to trap it, then it's still considered, tzedah. So that's what the Mishneh Berurah is teaching us over here. In line with this, Mishneh Berurah continues and he says, because Tamgunavom adds to that, the imamayim tzlulim, what would be the halacha if the water is clear, veroya dogim, and the fish are visible, perhaps also because of their size. And perhaps because the water is clear, and because the size, the relative size of the fish, muta, then it's going to be fine. Imen mechusat seder, and you can take those fish, shabei vokotam, because the pond is fairly small. So that's going to be the halach over here. Now I'll just point out something which is evident from this Mishneh Berurah, but it's a bit of a chiddush in Hilchos Tzad. The Mishneh Berurah said that the reason why it's not considered tzad is because of the proportional size of the fish, but not only that, but also because of the visibility. And I think this is quite a big chiddush in the Mishneh Berurah. Who would have thought that the visibility, he said, because the water is clear. So Mela, it's not salt. Now, if you think about it, there's a chiddush over here, because you would have said, it's all about the size, you can catch it, you know, the size of the fish, size of the pond, you grab it once, you get it, it's not salt. If it's more than that, then it's too wide, it's proportionally too large, and therefore it's considered tzad. Now, what does the visibility got to do with melechus tzad? It seems to be an external factor. It seems to be an external kind of argument. But yet we find that Mishneh Berurah says because the water is clear, you're more likely to catch it, and therefore it's not mechusat seder. So I think it's an important chiddush that it's got to do with that as well. And that I think it's a very big chiddush. Do you hear what I'm saying? That it's not got to do with the proportional size of the animal and its place, but it's also about your practical physical sight of visibility of the animal as whether they can catch or not. I think it's a very big chiddush, but that's what he seems to be saying. Okay, that's it for this evening. Let's just summarize what we learned. We learned that when it comes to tzad on Yom Tov, we've got to look at a few things. First of all, we've got to look at what we learned, that tzad is one of the melachos which is also on Yom Tov, despite it being Oichal Nefesh, either the Reis or the Rabbanon, but at the end of the day, it's also. The same rules apply with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. And if it is in a situation, in a scenario where it's confined already, where the animal is already kind of trapped, then of course you're allowed to take it. And that's always relative and proportional to where it is. We learned in a beaver, in principle, it's a problem because he's always going to escape, so he can run away. We learned, however, if it's not the case, if the situation is that you can just grab it and take it, then it's going to be permitted. At the same time, we also discussed that there's always another element which needs to be discussed, and that's the halach of mukta. Is the animal something which you intended to eat? Is something which is mukta or not? If it's something which was in no way in your world, in your mind, something you're going to eat, it's going to be perhaps okay to take and trap, but it's going to be mukta, and therefore awesome d'abon for that reason. So this is something which we're going to have to consistently look at, both halachas of tzot and halachas of mukta, and then we're going to see that continuously in this siman. Alright, okay. Okay, that's it for this evening. Yeah, sure.
Very
nice
track. Yeah. Did you go to Stavra Lakes? Where the fish came out, Stavra Lakes, there's two lakes. No.
It rings a bell when you're saying Stavra Lakes, but it wasn't there, it was somewhere else. I'm sure my wife will remember. I don't remember. But it was nice to see those fish. They're huge, they're enormous, they're really big.
And second question, if next week we're looking at shuls open from 30, does that mean our shir is gonna start in person?
Over to the Olam, I don't know. Let's just see what exactly the I would say let's wait until we see what exactly the what exactly is.
Potentially we could do Mincha, Mariv, and a Shir.
Yeah, if I'm definitely open to that, but let's just see first what the announcement is going to be, your formal announcement from the shul, and then we'll see we'll go from there. But I'm definitely open to that, and I think that many of us will be open to that. But let's just see what the official what the shuls are going to say. So let's see what happens, kind of.
Can I just clarify one question on the mukta element on Yom Tov with animals? I'm just wondering why the mukta would override Ochel Nefesh, because if you've got a stall and you decide, you realize that you need some more wine to serve for your family and your guests, my understanding is that you're allowed to go to the store and take out the wine, but before Yom Tov, you never expected to go to that store, so the wine should also be mukta.
Yeah. Very good. So your question is a good question. We will address that at a later stage, because it the principal answer to your question is it's very correct. It depends on the item. How you're right. The wine that okay. We'll discuss more on that. It depends very much how much awareness you had that you may end up drinking or using it. So more on that to follow, Beis Hashem. There's more on that. There's more on that. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, good evening. Shkaich.